You're the God of the city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in the darkness. You're the home to the homeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like you, God. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things are yet to come, and greater things are still to be done here. You're the Lord of creation, the creator of all things. You're the King above all kings. You are. You're the strength and the weakness. You're the love in the broken. You're the joy in the sadness. You are. Oh, there is no one like our God. The creator of all things. You're the King above all kings. You are. You're the strength and the weakness. You're the love to the broken. And you're the joy and the sadness. You are. Born there is no like our God. There is no like our God. Greater things are yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. Glory shines from hearts alive with praise for you and love for you in this city. And greater things are yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. To be done here. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God.
There is no one like our God. There is no one like you, God. Greater things are yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city.
Good morning. Aren't you glad you brought Jesus with you? Amen. Hallelujah. Nothing like people of like faith being able to bring the Lord with them and us worship Him corporately under the anointing. Amen. And come into a place and a position to give Him all praise. It opens up the possibility of being able to receive all the things that the Lord would have for you. You know, Jesus sat on the right hand of the Father this morning and He made intercession for each one of us. He has a plan for you today. He has a plan for you and He wants to minister to you. And everything the enemy would try to bring against you to hurt and hinder, He wants to give you a word that will cause you to step up above it and to live in a testimony. Your life is to be a testimony, amen, that Jesus is alive and well. He's on the throne. Glory. Hallelujah. Well, What a good-looking crowd you are. Hallelujah. If you would, open up your Bibles. Three different openings to get the grasp of what we're trying to do. Mark chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 14. We're just going to read a verse out of each of these sections. Matthew chapter 9, Matthew chapter 14, and Mark chapter 1. And so no pressure. We'll just... We're going to set our text from those three places. In Matthew chapter 9, I want to read a few verses here to get the full thought. Start at verse number 35. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, if you're there, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Notice what the Word of God says. And Jesus went about all their cities, or all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Now remember verse number 36. But when He saw the multitudes, mark this down in your mind's eye, highlight it in your very heart if you would. He, Jesus, was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith He unto His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. Now go ahead, chapter 10, verse 1. Chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power, exousia, authority, against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now, just turn over to the 14th chapter quickly. Matthew chapter 14. Let's read one verse, verse 14. Matthew 14, 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was what? Moved with compassion toward them and healed their sick. Mark chapter 1, trying to get a mindset of our Lord and Savior. Mark chapter 1. Notice that in, starting in verse 14, it says, Now that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. So you see his mindset, where his heart was. But now drop down to verse number 41, and we'll come back to this. But verse 41, Jesus moved with what? Compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, touched the leper, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Brother Donnie, would you pray?
Lord, thank you for your presence in our life. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in this service today, Lord.
Yes.
May we just fill our minds, Lord, and open our hearts wide open to you, Lord, stepping in what you have us to do, Lord, and doing what you have us to be in this day and age, Lord. For the coming of your hand is at hand.
Yes.
We know that, we understand that, Lord. Time is time and time is now, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Donnie. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Now, in these verses of Scripture, we see the mindset, the attitude of the one who loved you and I enough to die for us. Amen? He was moved by compassion. And as we give last Sunday morning's sermon, the sermon for the year, the very thought for the year, and I believe that the verse for this year, as we talked about, it was 1 Corinthians 16, chapter 9. We're going to have an open door before us, but we're going to have many obstacles. But how you and I see those obstacles will determine whether we overcome and whether we overflow. And so we know that love never fails. Amen. And so Jesus said in John chapter 13, down about verse 34, 35, he said, by this, by love, shall all men know that you are my disciples. And so you and I, we have got to make sure that no matter what happens in this year, that we stay in the flow of love. Amen? And the way to do that is we have got to recognize what Jesus has done for us, what he's done in us, and what he wants to do through us. And so with that understanding, it's going to help us so much. You and I, we have got more authority than we've ever dreamed of. We need to stop praying for authority. We need to stop praying for faith, because God's dealt you the measure of faith. And we need to stand up in who Jesus has made us to be and say, I love because the Holy Ghost is shed abroad in my heart. And I'm going to go forth in the authority that Jesus delegated. And I'm going to minister compassion to people. I'm not going to be moved by what I feel in the natural, but what I see with my natural eyes. But I'm going to be moved by the unction of the Holy Spirit inside of me. You are a temple of love. Amen. That's who you are, a temple of love. And God is wanting to allow the pressures of life that would squeeze you to cause the love like honey to ooze out and to be sticky, to stick on everybody that you get around this coming year. Amen. So what's on my heart, you can title this message if you want to, Belly Benevolence. Belly benevolence, because when it says that Christ was moved with compassion, it means that down in his belly, there was a deep yearning. There was a desire, a heartfelt desire to take the truth that he had from the Father, the love that he had by the Spirit, and minister it to people and to change their life. You and I, we've been changed by an almighty God, and he changed us to change somebody else. Amen? And so that's what we're going to talk about. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 9. And let's look at some things here. I think it'll help us so much. Go back to verse number 35 where we started, Matthew 9:35. It says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages. Now, if Jesus hadn't come to your city, if he hadn't come to your heart, this morning you'd be lost and undone. I would be lost and undone. But praise God, the Holy Ghost come by, knocked on your door and my door, revealed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior to us. We accepted Him. We embraced Him. The blood that Jesus shed on the cross washed over us, made us a brand new creature. Amen? Brand new by the power of God. And we've been authorized. We've been deputized. We've been anointed to go and to do what Jesus called us to do. But we've got to believe that. We'll document that in just a moment of time. But notice what He said. As Jesus went forth, He was teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Don't you love it that there's a gospel out there? There's good news. There's good news. Now, the world doesn't have any good news for you and I. They love to exalt and magnify bad news. They love to create fear. They love to create doubt. But you and I, our source is not in and of this world. Our source is by the Spirit of God that is abiding in us, that is lifting up Jesus before us. Amen? The Word of God is the only thing. Matthew 24:35 says that the Word of God is going to abide forever. Hallelujah. Heaven and earth is going to pass away. But the words of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to abide forever. And so He's given us an admonition here. He's given us a parallel to walk in. He's given us an ability to walk as He walked in the earth. And He what? He taught the gospel. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. And that gospel included not only salvation, but notice, healing every sickness and every disease of the people. Now, I love that because the sickness and the disease here has to do with body and mind. Oh, glory. Now, we're living in a day and age you cannot turn on your television, you can't thumb through a magazine without some kind of medicine being pushed on you. And we've got doctors who don't know how to doctor. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just being honest. They've got a little tablet here. And they sit you and I down on that little table and they look at that tablet. And whatever that tablet tells them, that's what they tell you. They don't listen like the old-time doctors used to. They don't listen to your symptoms. They don't listen to how you're being affected by the medication. All they want to do is, if you have a side effect, I'm going to write you another medication that will take care of the side effect. And everything becomes compound in our life. And that's what the world has to offer. But Jesus has something else to offer. He says, I've got a gospel. I've got good news. And that good news, it can take care of your body. It can take care of your mind. Because my blood is going to take care of your spirit. Amen? Glory. Now, this is the good news. We've got something to talk about. And we've got to have a yearning in our belly. A belly benevolence of saying, if Jesus done it and He's called me to do it, I can do that same thing too. Amen? Do you believe that? We've got to believe it, and we've got to be about our Father's business, and we've got to work while it's day, because night's coming when no man can work, and if we're going to get it done, we've got to do the way that Jesus said to do it. Now, notice what He said. He said in verse number 36, but He saw, when He saw this, when Jesus had a revelation of the multitudes, He was moved with compassion upon them. Now, I want you to think about this. He was moved with compassion on these multitudes. These multitudes is from a Greek word that means a throng of people, but it means a throng of people that causes, that creates a riot. The word also means a vehicle. Now let's let that sink in just for a second. You turn on your television, you see all sorts of people protesting in the streets. You see all sorts of things happening, and they are a vehicle to take people away from God. They're a vehicle to cause people to put confidence in a government that is going to go away. Our confidence is in the Lord God Almighty. We're thankful for everything, but we're thankful for Him. Amen? And so Jesus looked at the multitude, and He seen that multitude that was exalting lack, that was exalting the hand of the devil working in their life. They were exalting hopelessness. And he said, I'm going to take that multitude and I'm going to touch them and I'm going to turn the direction of their influence from the negative to the possible, to the good news of hope, of confidence in Christ Jesus. Amen? That's exactly what he done. And you and I, as blood-bought believers, you and I, as called into the body of Christ, named into the church of the living God, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against, that's our call. That's our role in 2019. Amen? So here we are this morning. We have this opportunity. It said that he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Now, we need to understand this. They were fainted. Now, this word fainted does mean, in one sense, that they were just wore out. But that's about half the people. The other half the people means they were so relaxed that they had no concern. Sound familiar this morning? We got a whole group of people. They are not interested in God. They're not interested in church. They're not interested in their hungry neighbor or their sick friend. They're interested in their self. They're completely relaxed. They've got everything they need to be satisfied in this life. We need a Jesus to come on the scene. We need somebody to be a vessel of the Lord and to be moved with compassion and to see that people are in one of two corners. But it doesn't matter where they're at this morning. You've got the gospel that can change their life. You've got the ability through Jesus Christ to bring truth, to bring a working in their life that will change everything. Amen? Come on now. This is an exciting time to live. This is the best time ever. The prophets desired to live in the time that you and I are living in, and God chose us to do it. So you can do what needs to be done. Amen. You've got to believe that. He said it. They were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. This is so true. This is so true. But you and I, since we know the shepherd, and since we are the sheep of his sheepfold, and we hear his voice, and he calls us by name, you and I have something to give them. Amen? We have a relationship that we can inform them about that is not secondhand, but that will qualify in a court of law because it's firsthand, intimate relationship. Amen? Now, okay. Let's go ahead. There's a bunch of stuff I want to say there, but we don't have time. Let's go to the Gospel of John. John chapter 14. Now, immediately, I want you to say this with me. I will hear. I will not be in a place of complacency because I have heard. But I will be excited that I'm going to hear afresh. Amen? It's not what we've heard, it's what we're hearing. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God and what you and I put to practice. Notice John chapter 14, Jesus makes this statement. Verse number 11. John 14:11, he says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Ain't you glad that Jesus has done a work in your life this morning? Come on, you and I, if we had time, each one of us, we could testify, magnify, and glorify the Lord for the work that he's done in our life. And thank God that that edifies us. But we need to take that same message outside these four walls. We need to take that message out into a lost and dying world because the Jesus that has worked in here, he wants to work out there. Amen? Now notice what he said, verse number 12. Verily, verily, truly, truly, assuredly, assuredly, I say unto you. Say, that's me. Amen. Jesus is talking to me this morning. Amen? Verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Now what's the qualification there? Because, see, we've got so many people that want to teach, when the last apostle died, this all ended. This all changed. The miracle-working plan of God, that was fulfilled and finished. Acts of the apostles ceased when that apostle died. Now, what did Jesus say? Did Jesus say that when this age stops, then my work is going to stop? What did he say? What's the qualifier? Yes, we carry on because we what? We believe. Notice what he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he or she, no gender intended, he or she that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, he or she do also. Oh, hallelujah. All we've got to do is believe. Believe. Do you believe that Jesus saved 2,000 years ago? I believe it, don't you? Jesus does not change. He said, I am the same yesterday, today, and
forever.
All right. Do you believe Jesus healed 2,000 years ago?
Yes.
He hasn't changed. Amen. Does He cast out demons?
Yes.
Come on. Does He set people, make people
yes.
free? Yes. He hasn't changed. So what we've got to do is to see what Jesus done and then say, Lord, I'm your disciple. And the disciple is not above his Lord, but he has as his Lord, well, what? Do what his Lord did. I'm going to have belly benevolence. I'm going to have Christ compassion. I'm going to look and I'm going to see where there's a need. I'm not going to turn my head away from it. Isaiah chapter 58 tells us what happened to Israel. It tells us clearly what the true fast of the Lord is. You and I today, we can fast food if we want to, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the true fast of the Lord is not to turn your eye away from the orphan. Not to turn your eye away from the hungry. Not to turn your ear away from the widow. That's the fast that God said, I will accept and draw you into my household with. That's the fast that will cause miracles to abound. That's the fast that will cause a lost and dying world to come to a risen Savior and to see everything about their life changed. Amen? That's the fast that you and I want today. And to be able to be a part of that, we've got to see what Jesus said. I believe Jesus. I don't believe the lies of the devil.
Right.
Come on, you didn't save yourself.
Right.
You were saved by grace. So you can lay hands on the sick because Jesus said you could. You can take up serpents because Jesus said you could. You can cast out devils. Because Jesus said you could. You can drink any deadly thing because Jesus said you could. And you can speak with new tongues because Jesus said you could. Come on, let's believe. If we're going to believe part of the gospel, let's believe all the gospel. Let's paint a clear picture of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, he said, if you and I would believe, he or she that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he or she do also. Now, notice this. And greater works than these shall he or she do, because I go unto my Father. Where is Jesus? Jesus was one entity on earth. Now, he's got the whole body. And he's the head. So greater works can be done. Plus, we're in a dispensation where sin is abounding. And the Bible says where sin abounds, God's grace abounds even more. And you and I can abound in that grace. The preaching, the living, the teaching, the telling, the very reality of daily life of the gospel. Amen? Hallelujah. All we have to do is to believe it. Okay, so I need to start believing that Jesus said that in 2 Corinthians 5:7, that once I got saved, once you got saved, that we would walk by faith and not by sight. And the faith is in what? The finished work of Jesus. The faith is in the reality of what Jesus done, he wants to do now. The faith is in the reality that he wants to do it now through you, through me, through his believers, his body. Amen? So here we are, and he tells us what we need to do. Look at verse 13, John 14:13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I might do it. Why are we not asking? Where's our compassion at this morning? Where's our confidence in the gospel? There are people, their lives are falling to pieces. And you hold the key. I hold the key. The key is Jesus Christ. He's not only the key, he's the door. Oh, glory. Now, let's understand this just a little bit, because when I say this, I don't want you to close off your ears to everything else I say, because you say,
I don't buy that. I don't believe that. You wait and you study that for yourself. You pray about it yourself and before you make a rash decision. Okay? Promise me?
Yes.
And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, hold your place right here and turn with me to Acts chapter 16. And let's see where this same Greek word is used. Acts 16, verse number 29. And we know the story here. This is where Paul and Silas are in the prison. And they praise God at midnight. There's a shaking. They're loosed. All the prison doors are opened. And let's see what is said by the jailer. Look at everybody there, verse 29. Here comes the Philippian jailer, and he says, "Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs," verse 30, says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now, let's understand this. Then he called for a light and sprang in. That word called is the same Greek word where Jesus said, "If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now, let's look at this jail. Who has authority in this prison? So when he walked up there and the jailer said, "Give me a light," was he asking for a light? Or was he demanding a light? Oh, now, I feel it. I feel it. Man. Come on now. Stay with me. Let the word talk. Don't let tradition talk. Let's go back. All right. Go back. Let's read it again. John chapter 14, verse 13. This is one continual statement that Jesus is making. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." And it's a conjunction tying it together, but it's one full sentence. "And whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Who has authority? Jesus Christ. But all of a sudden, he said, "If you believe, I'm giving you authority." See, we're spending so much time about praying about things. The Spirit of God very explicitly said, "In this year, you're going to have to stop praying for what I've done gave you and exercise what I've gave you in the realm of the Spirit to the natural." So Jesus said, "Really, and whatsoever you shall demand," you say, "Wait a minute now, I'm not demanding God enough. This ain't about God. You're demanding your rights to the devil in the name of your Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ." We're talking about your authority given by the shed blood of Jesus. We're talking about you having compassion to be able to walk up to a situation and you know what God's will is in that situation because you know how Jesus worked in the flesh. He was the flesh, God in the flesh, anointed by the Holy Ghost. He was fully God, but he laid down to be able to show you and I what we could do when we got filled with the Holy Ghost. And he went, and he spoke. Now, hold your place. Go back to Mark chapter 1. Let's see this. Mark chapter 1, where we were just a moment ago in our opening text. And let's see something. Now, God's going to do some amazing things this year because he's going to build our faith, and it's going to be because you believe. Mark chapter 1, verse number 40 this time. "And there came a leper to him," to Jesus. there came a leper to him, to Jesus. Why did this leper come to Jesus? Now, let's think about this just a second. The leper had a death sentence on him. There's no way he can live. Something made that leper believe in the authority of Jesus Christ. What does the previous verse say? Jump up to verse 39 with me. And he, Jesus, he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and what? It hadn't been done. But he did it by the finger of God. Amen? This leper saw that if Jesus could take care of the devil, he could take care of leprosy. Oh, now, come on. We need to be excited. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he preached in their synagogues and throughout all of Galilee and cast out devils. And there came, because of this authority, there came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. Verse 41, and Jesus moved with compassion in his belly. He was yearning. He put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, what? I will. What's the will of the Lord? The will of the Lord is healing. The will of the Lord is salvation. The will of the Lord is deliverance. The will of the Lord is victory. The will of the Lord is abundant life. Jesus said, I come that you might not only have life, but you might have it more abundantly. That's the gospel. That's the good news in part. But we got to preach the whole thing. Amen? He said, I want you to be clean. And as soon as what? Did he pray? He knew his authority. He knew his authorization from God. Some things you and I are praying and asking God about, and God says, I want you to do like my son did. You are his example. You are the temple of the Spirit of God. I want you to move forward in what I've designated, authorized, deputized, anointed you to do and be. And we're going to see it this year. We're going to see it for the glory of God. It's going to... Jesus said that healing was the children's what? Healing was the children's bread. I don't know about you, nothing draws people around better than fresh cooking bread, homemade bread. I mean, that draws people. Guess what? It's going to come out of this place, and people are going to smell it. And they're going to come to Jesus, not to this church, not to you, not to me. They're going to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is going to touch them because you and I are going to believe. We're going to do what Christ called us to do. We're going to have compassion on them. We're going to say, listen, oh, I love my church. I love the sermon. I love the singing service. I love everything that we've got planned. But if Jesus says to do this, we're throwing that in the trash. And we're going to do what He wants to do, when He wants to do it. He's going to be glorified and exalted. And people are going to know that they can meet Jesus right here. At these altars. Amen? Oh, glory. We're going to do that or we're not going to have church. Because that's what church is all about. Everywhere Christ went, He was about His Father's business. He said His meat was to do the will of the Father. That's our hunger. That's our desire. Amen? Glory. All right. Look at something with me real quick. I know we're... I don't even know what time it is. Hallelujah. I want to see something here. In the book of Acts. Turn with me there quickly. The book of Acts. Notice... In Acts chapter 3, everybody's familiar with the story where Peter and John, they go and let me read it. We better read it. Acts 3, Peter and John went to the temple and they saw this lame man in verse 2. And in verse 3, he looked up to Peter and John and he was about to ask them for something in the natural, for alms. But verse number 4, Acts 4, 3 and 4, and Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. Lord Jesus, raise this man up. They knew their authority. They knew the will of Jesus. They said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, by Jesus, all the glory to Jesus, rise and walk. Rise and walk. They spoke the way Jesus spoke. They operated under the authority that God had given Jesus, that Jesus had given to the church. Oh, glory. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And took him by the right hand, that's important, and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Not only was it a divine healing, it was a divine miracle. Those atrophied muscles, everything come together because Jesus is the name that is the name above all. Oh, hallelujah. I feel faith rising. Oh, praise the name of the living God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Go to the fourth chapter. They got beat up. They got put in jail for it. But notice what happens. Verse number 7, Acts 4 and 7. And when they had set them, Peter and John, in the midst, they asked, "By what power, by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole..." Peter's talking about spiritual here. This word whole here has to do with being spiritually whole. Look it up. Don't take my word for it. It was the saved in verse 12 as well. "Be it made known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doeth this man stand here before you whole," healthy. That's his physical body. "This is the stone which you set at naught of the builders, which has become the head of the corner." Now notice this, verse 12. "Neither is there salvation, spiritual, in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Brother Corey got on this in Sunday school. Verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had what? Been with Jesus. So the key of you and I operating in our authority is we have got to be in close proximity with Jesus. We've got to stay at that relationship with Him at the foot of the cross. We've got to stay at that place of the throne of mercy that the book of Hebrews talks about. We've got to stay in constant fellowship. Because if not, the devil is going to continually tell you everything you've done wrong, all your shortcomings, all the times you failed in the past, none of that matters. Now faith is. Amen? Hallelujah. We're operating in the now, in the moment. None of that matters. We're going to go forth and do what God would have us to do. All right, let's close in Psalms. I believe it's 145. Psalms 145, verse number 8. Psalms 145, verse number 8. "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion." That's mercy. That's having belly benevolence. You and I are to be full of what the Lord's full of. But we've got to empty out of hatred, anger, resentment, judgmentalism, all of these things. Empty out of all of that so we can be full of the Lord's compassion. Amen? All of those things are just a work of the enemy. We can't have any fear, any doubt. Fear has torment. You're not to be tormented. You're to be in perfect peace this morning. Amen? So by the power of the Spirit of God, we've got to let go of those things and empty out of those and fill up with the compassion. The Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Oh, that's your God. That's my God. Amen. The Lord is good to some. What? To all? But the devil said, I don't care what the devil said, do you? Tell the devil to shut up, right, in Jesus' name. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies, His compassion over all His works. Okay? Now, wait just a second. You are a work of the Lord. And He started this work in you, and He's faithful to finish it. But He's calling you to do a work, so you're not having to depend upon the compassion of yourself. The Lord is giving you compassion in your workings because you're willing to do what He wants you to work. Come on now. Hallelujah. One more time. Let me reread it. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. That means the Bible says everything that you put your hand to, everything I put my hand to is blessed. And the compassion of the Lord is there to make it a success. Amen? You cannot fail. Come on, the devil says, what if? What do you don't even answer him. You say, shut up in the name of Jesus. It's not what if, it's what happened 2,000 years ago plus. Amen?
Amen?
All right. Notice what he said. Verse 10. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. Come on now. I can do a work for the Lord that will praise Him. He does it through me. He does it through you. We're not our own source. But He said, being His saint, that we could bless the Lord. Come on, He's blessed me. I want to bless Him, don't you? But I don't want to just bless Him in here. I want to bless Him where other people can get to know Him that have never had the opportunity, as they say, to darken the very house of the Lord.
Yes.
Amen? Come on, great exciting things is fixing to happen.
Yes.
Because of your faithfulness in the call, God's going to increase the anointing in your life. Your eyes, I'm talking about your spiritual eyes, are going to be open like never before. Dreams are going to come in abundance. A word of the Lord is going to be whispered in your ear, and you're going to get up and you're going to do what He told you to do, and God's going to be blessed.
Amen.
And His work is going to go forth, and praise is going to come back to Jesus, because people are going to say, well, I know that old boy. That ain't God. I mean, that ain't him. That's God. I know her, and I like her. Don't get me wrong, but that's not her. That's God. Amen? That's what this is all about. You take it and you mark it down. It's going to happen. If you'll believe it, it's going to happen. Hallelujah. I want to close with this illustration. Sister Tori printed this out for me. I didn't have a chance to write it out. And I appreciate her doing that. This is a true story. Now, this brings this message home. There's a young man named Christopher Searcy. Okay? And he was playing basketball with his friends on May 16th, 1998. As he was playing with his friends, basketball, all of a sudden there was a drive-by shooting and he was shot in the chest. And his friends, they went and they started dragging him down the block trying to get to the local hospital. They dragged him and dragged him and they got within 40 feet of the door. They were wore out and they were scared, and so they run inside the hospital. And as they run inside the hospital, they said, listen, our friend, we was playing basketball. He was shot. He's shot through the chest. He's lost a tremendous amount of blood. We need you to come out here and do something. And the lady standing there, she said, I'm sorry. We're not allowed to go outside the door to take care and give medical help to your friend. He has to be inside the door. In the meantime, somebody had called the police, and the police come, and they helped get this young man in a wheelchair and roll him in the door, but it was too late. Now, I say that to say this, The church of now has got so caught up in numbers and who is inside their church that if you're not in their door, they're not interested about you. Jesus went to where the need was at. This is His church. You don't have to worry about it being paid for. You don't have to worry about Him taking care of His church. He said He would build it. Amen. He's going to do it. All you and I have got to do is be soft and pliable and go where the need is met. There's people outside that door. They'll never come in here. But we're going to feed them. We're going to give them instruction if they want it. We're going to give them love. We're going to give them whatever the Lord says to give them. Because God's going to be able to shine His face on you and I. And we're going to let that face shine out on other people. And we're going to see the lost, the bound, the sick. We're going to see miraculous things happen. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Pray with me. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we love You, we honor You, we thank You for Your goodness, Your grace, Your mercy. I thank You for the power of the revealed Word of God. All the Word is relevant. All the Word is important. But right now, we're in a season, we're in a moment. This is a fresh rhema word to inspire us, to empower us, to prepare us for what You're going to accomplish through Your people this year. Father, I ask right now that anything that would hinder, anything that would distract, anything that would keep us from receiving this Word to build and bring faith, we bind it in Jesus' name. And Lord, I ask that You touch us and draw each one of us to an altar in our heart to be able to steal our mind and to receive this engrafted Word and allow You to speak to us and show us what our role is and to show us what we need to start speaking to in the authority that You gave us. Yes, Lord. Yes. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. We ask You in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God just reminded me to be sure to mark down and go back. I didn't make it clear enough on Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And you can go to Luke chapter 10 and you can see where it's not just the 10, it's also the 70. I mean, it's not just the 12, it's also the 70. In other words, that authority wasn't just given to those 12 Galilean disciples. It was given to the 70, which represents you and I today. And you've got to see that Jesus gave to you and I authority. Amen? And authority requires faithfulness. Because with authority comes responsibility. Amen? So would you come? Would you make yourself an altar? Would you come and say, Lord, I want You to help me put this down deep in my heart. And I want to operate in this. And I want it to set the tone for this whole year. I want to be faithful in what You've said. Would you come this morning? Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for Your goodness and Your grace, Your mercy and Your love. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Everybody come. Make yourself.
You're the God of the city. You're the King of His people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in the darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like You, God. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things
to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done here. Creation, the creator of all things, you're the king above all kings. You are, you're the strength and the weakness, you're the love to the broken, you're the joy and the sadness. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like you, God. Greater things are yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. From heart to life, with praise for you and love for you in this city. Greater things are yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. There is no one like our God. Oh, there is no one like our God. There is no one like our God.
God's good. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. His name is the name above all things. He is all powerful. Glory. And He's authorized you and I to use His name. You're His power. You have His power of attorney. When you speak the Word of God in the name of Jesus, it's the same as if Jesus is speaking it. But you and I got to believe that. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. You know, the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, talks about the compassion of the Lord, the mercy of the Lord, and how they're new every morning.
Amen.
New every morning. And so we've got to learn how to walk in that compassion, but we've got to learn how to give out that compassion every morning. There are going to be people who are going to challenge you to try to get you to back up on that. The devil is going to try to make you angry at them, make you discouraged in them, and all of those things. But every day you come back to that compassion of the Lord and let it be renewed. Amen. And don't go in the way you feel in the natural, but go what you know by the Word of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Does anybody need special prayer for anything before we change the order of the service?
Let's give God a hand clap of praise. God is good. Amen. You know, I'm always so glad to be challenged when I come to church and everything. You know, there's a lot of times that and I'm not saying anything against anybody, but there's a lot of times you come to church that you can watch a church service or you can watch a preacher and everything. You feel like you're kind of getting a pep talk, and you know, and there's not I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but if you're not being challenged, then how can you grow? And I don't know about y'all, but I'm leaving here challenged this morning. You know, it's the things that sometimes, you know, when your mind first doesn't understand it, but your spirit does, you know. You know, sometimes when you hear about the authority that God has given you, your mind may not understand it or even accept it right away, but your spirit knows it. Your spirit knows it. Like I said, it's those things that challenge you that help you grow. So praise God. Let's give God another hand clap of praise. At this time, we'll go ahead and bring forward the tithes and the offerings for this morning. Brother